My name's Phil Williams. I work for the Coal Industry Social Welfare Organisation, which is abbreviated to CISWO. I'm 59 years of age. I live in Pontlottin, which is roughly 6 miles from where we are today. I'm married to a Scottish girl called Caroline. I have two children, Hugh, 24, and Isla, 20. And as I say, I'm hoping to retire next year. Going on to my work history, especially the heavy industry part, I started off in Bargoed as an apprentice electrician. Pit was due to close, so we got transferred over to Taf Merthyr, which is in the Merthyr Valley near Bedlinog, where I spent the next 17 years before it actually closed. And then I moved on then into other industries.
Were you aware of people with disabilities where you worked?
Yeah, because we were talking about it the other day. It was up in Big Pit, actually, and we were talking about there was always a job for people with any ability or disability to a certain extent, obviously. We had people there who may have had slight learning difficulties, and they weren't. I don't think any job is menial because it's got to be done, whatever it is, but perhaps not too much of a task that they could well within their capabilities, and you know, nothing too stressful for them, you know. And but what we found is lately that, like a lot of factories, there is quite a bit of sort of computer work, which I'm no computer buff myself, you know, so we can understand people, but there was always something there, perhaps a bit more physical than there is today.
And how were people with disabilities treated? They treated the same as people with disabilities?
They didn't have a disability,
right.
if you know what I mean. The disability wasn't seen. They were just a part of the team and, you know, an important part of the team, and they were just treated exactly the same way as anybody else in the pit.
And was your health affected during your work?
Yeah, I would have thought, like most miners, our backs and wear and tear in old age, but a lot to do with it. A lot of people have got trouble with their knees because obviously there was the industry was a lot that you'd be on your knees, sort of. Not, I was an electrician actually, so, and that's a sore subject that Ron might pick up on later. But you know, we were sort of. And I just point the table, if you can imagine the table height, you know, we crawl underneath there for a few hundred yards on stony ground, so it did take its toll over the years.
And how did it affect your family life?
I don't think it really affected it. You know, the money was good, so in that way we had a comfortable living. We weren't rich by any means, but we were comfortable, and I was one of the lucky ones that my health didn't suffer too badly after 18 years. So, you know, some people, my father, for example, he died when I was 6. I've got very few recollections of him because he was full of pneumoconiosis, which is dust, and he was up in the rest home in Talga for quite a while, and you know, I very rarely saw him before he passed away, you know, so that in that way, I suppose we could bring the disability sort of in from the sort of 40s, 50s, or even earlier. The conditions were a lot worse than I worked in later on, you know.
I was going to ask how things have changed.
Right, yeah. The conditions, obviously, when the likes of my father and of his age, because he'd be about 104 now, actually. He was quite late having me, so. But the conditions were horrendous, really. You could imagine, if you could imagine, not being able to see across the table because of dust, and that is obviously going into the lungs. That's, sometimes we did have that for a certain extent, but it was normally cleared up. There might have been some reason for it, but normally, and later on, we were given safety goggles and dust masks, so that, you know, we were pampered a bit then towards the end.
Were you working at a time when there was any accidents?
Yeah, I unfortunately saw quite a few. Well, there was one occasion, and this would lead into the disability of the gentleman. There's, if you can imagine, it's hard to explain. If you can imagine a chain with what we call links, that there would be the links there, and what would happen, the coal would fall onto the link and it'd be moving, so it would take the coal away from the face. Well, one of these, they actually called flights in between, they were missing, and a steel rope caught around the flight, or the missing flight, and his foot, it was just terrible bad timing, where his foot got into the loop of the rope, and he was sort of stuck in the place, couldn't get out of it, and it took his foot off. It was hanging on by a thread, but it actually took his, he had to have his foot amputated within the next couple of days. And leading from that, we had different levels, if you like, we worked, the NUM were the sort of, say the labour inside of it. Then you had NACODs, who were the supervisors, and then you had Backham with the management side. And the gentleman who lost his foot was for NACODs, so he went from being a supervisor down, he went on top it, and he actually worked then giving out clothes there, you know. So it's whether or not they kept his rate on, I don't know, but they may have, because it was an industrial accident, they may have sort of kept him on the level of pay. But if not, his pay would have been cut by at least a third, you know. But I don't know what, obviously with his circumstances, that was personal to him. Like.
Did you find that if there were accidents, that the mine bosses would try to keep the staff on who were injured?
Yes, as I say, with the gentleman concerned, they did. They kept him on then. They found a job for him, which was lucky. There's not, and in fact, there were a couple of people working where the gentleman would, a similar incident where another chap had his foot off as well. With this, so, you know, but at the end of the day, some of the accidents were, and unfortunately, I've been at the Coal River and some people have been killed. So, you know, and with their sons working there as well. So, you know, it was a sort of unique industry. I don't get me wrong, I know it happens in all industries, but the accidents were, if we had an accident, it was probably more severe than a paper cut. You know, it was, everything was so heavy because it had to be encased in heavy metal, obviously, for the watches wasn't damaged. And but, you know, if you did have an accident, it tended to be off for a couple of weeks at least, you know.
And do you know if there was any compensation for injuries?
There would have been. It again, they would contest it. They'd have to make sure, you know, so they would, if there was a fault on the management side, they would look at to make sure, you know, the unions and the health and safety and the management would look into the accident, and then they'd work out whose fault it was. And if it was the fault of the management, then they'd be compensated for the injury.
What if it was the...
Sorry?
The person who had the accident, what if it was their fault?
Well, of course, then, it'd be individual cases, but if it was negligence, they may, doubtful if they did get any payment for that, you know. This is why we have to be so careful, because, you know, you have to be vigilant all the time around your conditions, just in case something fell from the roof, or because we used to have you probably saw it in Big Pit, it's like a railway, if you like, and we used to put the drams on the railroad, and they'd be taken in, and then they'd be called a journey, so the journey would take it. The coal, but not so much the coal, because they went out on belts, but the supplies we needed to supply the coal face. So some areas were quite tight, so you had to sort of get out of the way, you know. And we used to have manholes, what we used to call manholes, where there was a little, you'd sort of get in there, but, you know, you had to be very careful all the time, you know, when you were working there, because, and especially if there was a lot of noise on, you know, you may not be able to see the journey or different things, you know.
Was there much health and safety training?
A lot of it, when he first started, obviously, because it was such a heavy industry, you were taught, you know, to look after yourself. And normally you'd have someone to guide you, so you'd be doing the training, but you'd have someone who would take you under hand, and it would be close. You should be shoulder to shoulder almost, you know, and they'd look after you. And then obviously you went on different safety courses as and when required, you know.
So were there any people with physical disabilities working down the mine?
Yes and no, really. Obviously, they couldn't be too disabled, simply because the conditions, it wouldn't allow for people of too serious disabilities, simply because of the conditions. But mostly, anybody with disabilities normally worked on top pit or on the surface, you know.
So looking back on your experiences in work, how do you feel about the mining work now?
I've got to be honest, I spent 18 years and enjoyed most of it. In fact, there's some days I couldn't wait to go to work, believe it or not. But it was the camaraderie and the fun we used to have, you know, because the banter and different things. And yeah, it was an experience I'm glad I've experienced, you know. And people say, well, I'd go back down there tomorrow. Perhaps I'm a bit old now, but if I was younger, I suppose I would, you know, because I've worked outside for probably 30 years since. No, not sorry, nearly about 20-odd years since. And it's not the same. You don't have the same sort of camaraderie on the... And you had to watch your back all the time, in, you know, just in case there were any problems. But you don't find that to the extent that we did when we were working underground.
So it seems like there was a lot of kind of teamwork.
Yeah, but you had to work as a team because, in fact, they were called teams, you know, in the coal face. Ron will tell you more. Ron was actually a captain of the team, and... You know, if you didn't work as a team, it just wouldn't work, you know. So teamwork is very, very important. And, and of course, the camaraderie as well. And, you know, and downtimes then, it was good. It was, I enjoyed it. Looking back, I did enjoy it, yeah.
Do you know of anybody with, say, a visual impairment or hearing impairment?
There would be people... more with hearing impairment. Visually, again, unfortunately, because, I'm trying to think if there was anyone with a visual impairment. I can't really think, but people with hearing, because, again, that was part of the... one of the problems we faced then, because everything was so loud there. A lot of miners actually... The urine is quite bad, you know, and that's a sort of legacy of the pits, you know. Yeah.
How do you think things have changed?
In terms of what? How do you mean?
Working conditions.
Well, obviously, no. The last bit. I finished in 1993, which is 25 years ago. So there weren't many. There's just one then, which was Tower. So. From the conditions really turned from the late 50s, early 60s until we finished in the 90s. So they did improve dramatically in that time, you know. But obviously now with the mines being closed, there isn't anything to gauge against, you know. All right.
Did the coal board have to employ a certain percentage of disabled people?
I don't know, to be honest. Ron would probably be able to tell you that because he was a union rep. I don't think there was at the time. I think that's come on leaps and bounds now in the last 10, 20 years that, you know, I would have thought. So. I think people who were employed, people with disabilities were employed naturally, if you like. If, you know, they were part of the workforce. I don't think there was anything, apart from people who may have had accidents at the mine, I don't think there was any sort of provision or any legislation to say that, you know, somebody, for every, say, every 20 people, you've got to employ a disabled thing. I wouldn't know. The answer is I don't know, but I wouldn't have thought so in those days because things have changed dramatically, as we said, you know, in terms of conditions and for people with disabilities, you know.
Did you have relatives, like father, grandfather, or that worked in the mines?
Yeah, as I said, my father worked there. My brother worked there. All my uncles. No, apart from a few of my uncles. So, yeah, it was that was the sort of life. You either sort of worked there in the 50s or you went to the forces.
Right.
You know, one uncle of mine was in the RAF, another one in the Navy. But the majority of the family then were underground, you know. So it was a natural progression for me to go underground, you know. And I didn't have any qualms about it or anything, you know. And it was just a way of life then, and especially around this area because it's obviously full of you know, mining history. That's how the valleys were sort of brought up. It's just built around, mainly around coal, steel, and iron, you know. So that's, quite a few of the family worked underground, you know.
Thank you.
Do you have any stories about any of the light duties above ground? I mean, the description of the kind of jobs you were talking about earlier?
There was, obviously, with a coal mine, you're going to have coal dust. And there was... you know, people may, everything had to be kept clean, obviously, you know, but that wasn't just people with disabilities, that was for other people's, but that was, they were the sort of kind of tasks, or perhaps working in the lamp room. I don't know if you remember from the lamp room, there's people worked in there where they would have to strip down and clean the lamps when they came up the pit, and, you know, which was, again, a very important job. As I say, they weren't menial tasks at all, but within capabilities, obviously, we've all got our own capabilities, and it was like horses for courses, if you like.
I think that's all the questions. Thank you
sure?
ever so
no
much.
Problem.